You're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th canto, chapter 20. Bali Maharaj surrenders the universe. Text number 8.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Yai Iyam Bubuje Brahman Daitya Indrai Anivartibhi Tesham Kala Agrasit Lokan Na Yasha Adhigatam Bhuvi Yar Iyang Bubuje Brahman Daityendrar Anivartibhi Tesham Kalo Grisilokan Na Yasho Digatam Bhuvi Yar Iyam Bubuje Brahman Jait Yendrar Anivartibhi Te Shankalo Grisir Lokan Nayasho Digatang Bhuvi.
Tesham kala grisilokan nayasho digatam bhuvi Yaridam bhubhaje brahman Tindani vartibi Tesham kala grisilokan nayasho digatam bhuvi Yaridang Bubaje Brahman Daityendra Anivartibi Te Shankalo Grisilokan Nayasho Digatam Bhuvi Yaridang Bubaje Brahman Daityendra Anivartibi Tesham kala grisilokan nayasho digatam bhuvi Yaridang bhubhaje brahman daityendra anivartibhi Tesham kala grisilokan nayasho digatam bhuvi Yaridang bhubhaje brahman Jaityendra anivartibhi Tesham kalo grisilokan Nayasho digatang bhuvi.
Ladies,
Yaridang bhubhaje brahman Jaityendra anivartibhi Tesham kala grisilokan nayasho digatam bhuvi Yaridang bubaje brahman. Daityendra ranivartibi. Teshankala grisilokan. Nayasho degatam buvi. Yaridang bubaje brahman. Daityendra ranivartibi. Teshankala grisilokan. Nayasho degatam buvi. Yaridang bubaje brahman. Yaityendra ranivartibi. Tesham kalo grisil lokan. Nayasho digatam buvi. Yai.
By whom? Iyam. This world. Bubuje. Was enjoyed. Brahman. O best of the Brahmanas. Daitya Indrai. By great heroes and kings, born in demoniac families, anivartibi, by those who were determined to fight, either to lay down their lives or to win victory. Tesham, of such persons, kala, the time factor, agrasit, took away, lokan, all possessions, all objects of enjoyment, na, not, yasha, the reputation, adhigatam, achieved, bhuvi, in this world. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. O best of the Brahmanas, certainly the great demoniac kings, who were never reluctant to fight, enjoyed this world. But in due course of time, everything they had was taken away except their reputation, by which they continue to exist. In other words, one should try to achieve a good reputation instead of anything else. Purport. In this regard, Chanakya Pandit, Chanakya Shloka 34, also says, Ayusha chano ekopi nalabhya svarna kotibi. The duration of one's life is extremely short. But if in that short lifetime one can do something that enhances his good reputation, that may continue to exist for many millions of years. Bali Maharaj therefore decided not to follow his spiritual master's instruction that he deny his promise to Vamanadeva. Instead, he decided to give the land according to the promise and be everlastingly celebrated as one of the 12 Mahajanas, Balir Vayasakir Vayam.
Vandeha. Shri Guru, Shri Jata Padakamala, Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha, Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvitam Tam Sajiva. Sadaitam Savadutam Bhadijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitam Scha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatnyadeshatarine.
So Bali Maharaj made a very intelligent choice here. He realized that his spiritual master was bogus and should not be followed. Normally you become fixed up in spiritual life by obeying your spiritual master. But in this case, he became celebrated as one of the great Mahajanas, the 12 great Mahajanas, by disobeying his spiritual master. One has to be pretty intelligent to be able to make such decisions properly. If there is such a thing as rejecting one's spiritual master. Of course, many of us did that when we joined this movement. I had been initiated by Maharishi Mayas Yogi, but I rejected him, you see, realizing he was nonsense, you see. There was no rules and regulations. You just go, aing, 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 20 minutes twice a day, aing, aing, aing. That's all you got to do. You can eat whatever you want, drink whatever you want, have sex with whatever you want. Just go, aing, 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 20 minutes twice a day. So we have to intelligently follow the bona fide spiritual master. Mahajano yena gatatapanta. One should not feel obliged to follow a bogus spiritual master. It's an interesting point here about the fame. It reminded me of something that's in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, so I decided we would add that to the class today. This is a very nice paragraph from the concluding chapter of the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, chapter 32. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Ramananda Rai, "What is the greatest reputation one can have?" Ramananda immediately replied that a person reputed to be Krishna conscious should be considered the most famous man in the world. One who is famous as a Krishna conscious man has eternal fame. It's like we pray, you know, your fame is spread all over the three worlds in our Guru Puja prayers, you see. All over the three worlds. When one becomes fully absorbed in Krishna bhakti, he becomes famous everywhere, you see. That's very big fame. In the material world, everyone is striving for three things. He wants his name to be perpetuated. He wants his fame to be broadcast all over the world, and he wants some profit from his material activities. But no one knows that all this material name, fame, and profit belong to the temporary material body, and that as soon as the body is finished, all name, fame, and profit are finished also. It is only due to ignorance that everyone is striving after the name, fame, and profit connected with the body. But actually, it is deplorable to become famous on the basis of the body or to become known as a man of spiritually developed consciousness without knowing the Supreme Spirit, Vishnu. Real fame belongs to one who attains Krishna consciousness in this very life. That's what I like about coming here to New Dwarka. I get to associate with all these famous people. You see, all these big name people. I just love it being here. Such a wonderful atmosphere, all these big famous ISKCON stars here. So, a devotee, though, he's not interested in fame, you see. He's not running after fame. Fame runs after him, but he doesn't run after fame. Nadanam najanam nasundarim kavitam vajagadisha kami mama janmani janmanishvare bhavatad bhaktir ahaitakitvai. I have no desire for fame. I have no desire for sex life. I have no desire for wealth. Simply, I want devotional service, birth after birth after birth. So the more that one develops this sort of an attitude, I just want to serve Krishna, and that's nothing else. Krishna recognizes him. And when Krishna recognizes someone, then they become truly famous. When you become famous with Krishna, you see, then your fame is everlasting. So we see all these great famous personalities in our sampradaya, you see. They don't die. They continue to go on with their transcendental activities. He reasons ill who tells that Vaishnavas die when thou art living still in sound and living try to spread the holy name around. So these great transcendental personalities who fully dedicated themselves in Krishna consciousness, they go on with their activities. They never stop, you see. In the material, you may be a big, big famous person for some time. Just like Prabhupada gives the example of Napoleon, you see. In fact, in Paris, there's a Prabhupada told about a statue. The statue says, Napoleon is France, and France is Napoleon. The statue is still there, Prabhupada said, where is Napoleon? Maybe he's a rat, you know, doing parikrama around the Eiffel Tower or something, you know. So there's so many big famous people, just like John Lennon from the Beatles. So many big names. But Prabhupada says they all vanish into oblivion. In due course of time, all of these famous people of the material world, they will be completely forgotten, totally forgotten, lost in the pages of history. But those who have fully absorbed themselves in service to Guru and Krishna, you see, they achieve a reputation which is never lost. In fact, that reputation goes on increasing, increasing, increasing. So this is a wonderful lifestyle to be Krishna conscious. To humbly serve Guru and humbly serve Krishna. Become happily absorbed in one's constitutional position, jivara swarupa hoy, krishnera nichidas. Not needing any fame, any sex life, any followers, any money. Simply totally satisfied by serving Krishna, even birth after birth. This Krishna consciousness movement is a great opportunity to absorb ourselves deeper and deeper and deeper in the mellows of Krishna consciousness. Krishna bhakti rasa bhavita mati. Krishna bhakti rasa bhavita. This is the Sanskrit version of Krishna consciousness. To be absorbed in the mellows, the ecstatic mellows of loving devotional service to Krishna. This is the wonderful lifestyle that Prabhupada has bestowed upon us. To dive deeper and deeper and deeper into this unlimitedly nectarian, ambrosial ocean of Krishna bhakti. What could be sweeter? What could be more nectarian than to become re-established in our original identities, which are qualitatively one with that amazing person who has unlimited power, unlimited renunciation, unlimited beauty, unlimited knowledge, unlimited wealth, and unlimited fame. What could be more amazing, more ecstatic, more exhilarating, more thrilling than to just really be who you are, you see? All you got to do is be who you are. What does it mean to be Krishna conscious? It just means to know who you are and be who you are, that's all. In the material world, they impose upon you all these false concepts. What's the first thing you hear when you come out of the womb? Oh, look, it's a boy. It's a girl. Immediately, they're programming you. You're the body. And as you grow up, be a good little boy, be a good little girl. You see how we're being programmed? Now, if I asked you to be, now you be a good jacket, would that be psychologically compatible endeavor for you to try to do? And I got to be a good jacket. They told me I'm a jacket. I got to be a good jacket. You see? So that's what they're doing. They're imposing this false conception on us that we are this body, and we're told you have to be a good one. Be a good boy. Be a good girl. Be a proper gentleman, a proper lady. You see? It doesn't work. It doesn't work. And therefore people are going crazier and crazier and crazier. The more they drift away from God consciousness, the more the world is just becoming a crazy nightmare. Unbelievably crazy place. Every year it's getting worse. Therefore this movement is the one thing. It's the antidote for the poison of Kali. Therefore, we've been blessed with the greatest opportunity, the greatest mercy, to have this opportunity to act as the well-wishers of the suffering souls of the Kali Yuga by injecting this medicine of Krishna Bhakti into the social body at large, by book distribution, by Harinam Sankirtan, Prasadam, by giving our association to these poor souls who are completely caught up in misery. It's horrible, it's deplorable what they're going through. I remember how bad it was before I became Krishna conscious. I mean, it was just, life didn't make any sense. It just didn't make any sense. No matter what you did, it wasn't satisfying. So they're going on thinking they're satisfied. Many people, they think they're happy, but it's a delusion only. They're basing their happiness on a false sense of identity, which will definitely be taken away from them today, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year. Their whole basis of happiness is false. It's a false platform which we pulled out from under them at any time. So the greatest service we can do for these poor souls is to awaken their Krishna consciousness, to bring them back to their actual identities as Krishna's eternal servants, qualitatively one with that amazing person who's playing the fifth note on his flute on the bank of the Jamuna and chanting all the Brijabasis. You see? We simply want to become enchanted by Krishna, and that's our desire, you see. That's all. But what if you're not on the bank of the Jamuna hearing Krishna's fifth note? What is the hope then? Well, Krishna's equally manifested in the form of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That's just as potent as being there in Vrindavan hearing the fifth note from Krishna's flute 5,000 years ago. Krishna, everything is in those two syllables. It's all impacted. It's all packed up tightly. Everything's present. Every pastime of Krishna, every quality of Krishna, every name of Krishna, every associate of Krishna, everything you could ever want to have or associate with or absorb yourself in or dive into or serve, it's all right there in those two syllables, Krishna. So we just have to master the art of associating with Krishna, you see, by hearing, by chanting, by serving, by remembering. In this way, go deeper, deeper, deeper into Namaruchi. In the beginning, it's tough because we're addicted to this false conception of the body. It's very tough in the beginning, you see. But if you put your faith and you keep the process, you stay in the process, then it gets, the toughness turns into sweetness. Sat Krishna Nama. Charitari Satapya Pato Patapta Rashi Nasha Narochi Kanu Kirtavandanananikang Shari Shai Vajushta Sramikramad Babitad Ganamula Hantri. Rupa Goswami has very mercifully given us this verse. He says, the holy name, character, and activities of Krishna are all transcendentally sweet, just like sugar candy. Although the tongue of one who is afflicted with the jaundice of avidya, ignorance, cannot taste anything sweet, it is simply wonderful that by carefully chanting these sweet names every day, a natural relish awakens within his tongue, and his disease is gradually destroyed at the root. You see? You got to go to the root. If you want to get liberated, you got to uproot it. Cutting a weed off of the surface isn't enough. Being a pious person externally and maintaining all the dirt in your heart is not enough. You got to uproot that damn weed. You see? Ahankari. Got to uproot the thing. So this process of chanting Hare Krishna is that process which will go deep, 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 deep within your heart and pull that thing out from the very bottom of the root. You see? That envy is, it's all based on envy. I was envious of Krishna. Why he gets to be the supreme? Why not me? Is he? That envious thought, he said, oh, Krishna said, oh, I'll let you try it then. If you're thinking that way, you can try it. And when you realize what an idiot you were, you're welcome to come back. You see? So now here we are. We've heard from Srila Prabhupada, we've heard from Prabhupada's disciples and grand disciples how important it is to awaken our Krishna consciousness. So now we have to be dutiful. We have to take the prescription given by the master physician, his divine grace Srila Prabhupada, and not deviate. No illicit sex. No meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling, you see. I'm a brahmachari, I don't have any sex at all. If I'm a householder, I can have sex only for procreation, once in a month, and nothing more after I'm chanting 50 rounds of japa, you see. So that's also called brahmachari. So we have to practice brahmachari life, no illicit sex. No meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling, and chant at least 16 rounds of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra every day. So we will dutifully accept this process. We will remain in the association of devotees because, frankly speaking, if you don't have contact with Vaishnavas, you're going to take association of non-Vaishnavas, and that will pollute you. You have to take association of Vaishnavas. Whether you're living in the temple, or you're living across the street from the temple, or you're living 100 miles from the temple, you have to have Vaishnava association. And you need a spiritual master also. Krishna says you have to have a spiritual master. I was trying to get by for a while without having a guru. I was thinking, I'll just be a devotee of Krishna. You know, George is writing, I was a singer-songwriter. I was thinking, well, George is writing Krishna conscious songs, I'll do the same thing. I'll just write Krishna conscious songs. I'll be a devotee of Krishna. And devotees let me live in the temple, so just to check it out, not to surrender, of course, but, you know, just to check it out. And so there I was living in the temple, and they said, you know, you really should become a disciple, you know. I said, no, I'll just be a devotee of Krishna. He said, But it says right here in the Gita, Tadvidi Pranipatena Pariprasnena Sevaya Upadekshanti Te Gyanam Gyanindas Tatvadarshinaha. Well, I was defeated, but was I going to do it? Nope. I was a stubborn holdout. And, of course, I mean, you know, when you go into the temple room for a Texan, it's really quite a thing. They have these long prayers, you say, when you enter the temple room, you know, Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya. It's a long, that's a million miles away from Texas. Texas talk. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya. So how do you do it? Well, I took my ballpoint pen. I said, I know what I do. I put it in my left hand, you know. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna. I had to put it in my left because you're right with your right hand, see. And Nama Om, and I put it here, the whole thing. So Vishnu Jan Swami, he saw that. He was very happy to see that in my hand. He saw I had an empty space in the bottom. He said, now you add this to your hand, I must please my spiritual master and surrender unto him fully. They're really trying to give me the message, you know, but I was holding out until one morning. Now, we didn't have the Govinda, Govinda Madhi Purush. That hadn't been introduced yet into ISKCON. It hadn't come out yet, but the album had just been produced. The Radha Krishna Temple album had been produced in London. And they sent it out to all the, Apple sent it out to all the radio stations. But one radio station in Austin said, we don't like this, it's too religious. But they knew there were some Hare Krishna guys in town, you know, chanting and dancing on the streets. So they actually handed it to us out, we were out on Harinam. They handed it to us. They said, here, you might like this. You wouldn't want to play this, but here, you might like this. We didn't even know about it. And we said, wow, George Harrison, Apple Records. Hare Krishna, this is amazing. We took it back to the temple. We were playing it in our little... There was no cassettes in those days, no MP3s. It was all 33 and a third vinyl. That was it. So we put it in our little record player, and we were hearing it again and again and again and again. So my service in the morning was to vacuum the temple room rug. So one morning, I was vacuuming that rug, and I was hearing the second cut on that beautiful album. Samsara dava nala lila loka tranaya karyunya guna gunadmam praptasya kalyana gunanavasya vande guru shri sharanaravindam. And I can tell you, I was mystified, because I could hear in the hearts or in the voices, the hearts of the devotees were being manifested in the way they were singing. I mean, it was an incredible thing. The way they were singing, I could tune in to the love they had in their hearts just by hearing the tone, how they were singing. And I had never experienced love like that, love of my family, love of my dog, love of a girlfriend, or love of my guitar, or whatever. There was no love like that I ever tasted in my whole life. I went, wow, this is amazing. And I just thought, I actually wanted to also taste that love the devotees were tasting, you see. Being an envious person, you know, I wouldn't want somebody to have something that I don't have, right? So I heard them tasting this love, and I wanted to taste it too. So I thought, wouldn't it be beautiful if I gave my life to Prabhupada? And then the tears started flowing, and that was it. I want to be initiated. Prabhupada said, after meeting Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakura the first time, he said, practically initiated me. Of course, he didn't actually get his formal initiation for another 11 years in 1933, but he said, practically he initiated me in that first meeting. So when you really know that you found your spiritual master, I give my heart totally to him, and at that moment he actually enters in your heart, and that's practical initiation, actually. You're taking shelter of him as your Lord and Master forever. And then after that time, then a formal ceremony will follow to reconfirm the commitment. So, actually, Davida has been bugging me for years that I got to tell something about my travels. So, I'm not Davida, Archita Prabhu. I'm meditating on that wonderful Davida also. We were serving together, the three of us, me, Archita, and Davida were serving together, so I mixed it up. In San Diego, we three of us were serving together. It was very nice. So yeah, Archita Prabhu was always telling me, please tell something about your travels. So, to please my beloved Grandmother, I'm his servant, he's my master, my Prabhu. So I'll tell a little bit. We're just coming in off an around-the-world tour. We went from Austin to London, where I gave a lecture at Bhaktivedanta Manor, and then we flew down to Mauritius for a week there. And then from there we went to South Africa. And then, actually reminds me, the first time we went to South Africa, it's an amazing story, actually, what happened. It's just part of our around-the-world thing. We didn't have any preaching plan there. We just were transiting on the way to on a one-world, around-the-world ticket. The way to get from Mauritius to Australia is through Johannesburg. You know, you go Mauritius, Johannesburg, Johannesburg, Sydney, just two flights and you're in Australia. So, but I thought, wow, we're transiting through there. Why not, try to give a lecture? Call the temple and see if we can come and I can give a lecture there. So I did that. I called the temple. Now, one of the ladies answered the phone. She said, no, it's really dangerous here in South Africa, she said. And you don't want to take a cab after dark. It's, you know, really dangerous. And actually, I knew a devotee who was carjacked. He was a South African devotee. He was carjacked, and he had his children in the van. And the carjackers wanted to take his children also. So he had to beg, you can have the van, but please let me have my kids back. And they finally agreed that he could keep his kids. So he left South Africa and moved to Canada. So when I heard stories like this, I went, wow, I hear it's pretty dangerous. And now I'm being warned, don't take a cab after night, but we're landing after dark. So what to do? Well, there's a hotel about 50 yards away from the airport. Okay, that's it. We're booking at that hotel, and that's it. And we're just going to transit through. And okay, so we came out of the You know, he finally came out, and, you know, the immigration, the, you know, checking the passport, the security, you know, getting your luggage and coming on out. And we came out into the terminal there in Johannesburg. I was completely blown away. My wife and I were both blown away. There's like 25 devotees there with a kirtan going on, with flower garlands. How did this, how in the world did this happen? Actually, I had mentioned on my, I have an e-course. I have like 16,000 people on my e-course. I had mentioned they were coming through South Africa. I must have given the flight arrival time somehow or other. So they all just showed up from different temples, from different places. They all came together at the same time to greet us. And, well, what to do? We were standing in the middle of the airport with all these devotees. They even brought a feast. What to do? Well, we'll just take them to the hotel room. So we did that. We took everybody, we squeezed in. It was like a sardine can. We squeezed in this little hotel room, you know, devotees sitting between the beds, the bathroom door. I mean, just the hallway, just squeezed everybody in, and we had a wonderful festival. We had kirtan, I gave a lecture, we had a feast, and it was so wonderful. And then the next day, some of them came the next morning for Bhagavatam class in the hotel once again. And then we headed out, and then as planned. And then I got an email from Bhakti Chaitanya Swami, the GBC. And he said, Prabhu, I want to apologize that we didn't receive you nicely in South Africa. And I was going, why? Because of the whole thing with the temple saying, don't come, it's dangerous. So that he didn't hear about the reception at the airport. But he was apologizing that they had offended me. And I went, well, I think Krishna wants us to preach in South Africa after that. And actually, some of those devotees in the hotel room became initiated disciples, actually. So an Indian couple and a traditional African, very nice African boy. They all became my disciples after that. So it was... It's amazing when you go out for traveling and preaching what kind of things can happen. It becomes very sweet, very ecstatic. And it's really based on a simple principle. The more you give Krishna, the more you get Krishna. So how much Krishna do you want? Therefore, take up the mission that Prabhupada gave us here in this room in December 1973. He said, become guru and deliver the whole world. Okay? That's what we're supposed to do. That's our family business here. Our family business is delivering the world. Now, when I go to Vrindavan, I get kurtas made, custom-made kurtas from, Ganga Prasad. That's their business, cloth, you see. Ganga Prasad and Sons, they have their family business of cloth. But our family business here is delivering the world. So to be a member of the ISKCON family means to take up this mission of delivering the whole world. You may say, but it's impossible. Why should we try for the impossible? Why be frustrated by trying for the impossible? Well, what did Prabhupada say in Los Angeles? Impossible is a word in a wise man's dictionary? No, a fool's dictionary. And it's also predicted in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sajjana Durjana Pangu, Jadda Anagana, Premavanyaya Jubaila, Jagatara Jana. This Krishna consciousness movement, it is Prema Tsunami, tidal wave of love of God. You see? And it will inundate the entire universe, drowning everyone, the pious, the impious, the lame, the indolent, the blind. Everyone will become inundated in this Prema Tsunami. You see? So, why not go for it? In our lifetime, let's do as much as we can to liberate the fallen conditioned souls. Some devotees want to take birth after birth until the whole world becomes Krishna conscious, until all the high court judges are wearing tilak. They want to keep taking birth after birth after birth after birth. They're so addicted to preaching. Ki jai. So now, are there any questions? Yes, Prabhu.
Mm-hmm. We said that we was saying that Vali Maharaj, he finally realized he rejected his guru because he was not bona fide, bogus. But then in the first line he says, "Oh, best of the brahmanas." Is that just like a kind of ethical thing?
Who's speaking here?
Vali Maharaj.
Who's he speaking to? I didn't study that part of him. Who's speaking to whom?
The Sukracharya.
He's speaking to his spiritual master.
Yeah. So I had that question because we know he's bogus. And then first line is, "Oh, best to the brahmanas."
Yes.
Is that just a
It sounds sarcastic, doesn't it?
It could be.
Sounds pretty sarcastic. "Oh, best to the brahmanas." Ha ha ha. Tongue in cheek. Sounds pretty tongue in cheek. You should call him the best of the brahmanas. Of course, the brahmanas may not be Vaishnavas also. He may be the best of the non-Vaishnava Brahman. Any other questions? Yes, Prabhu?
Thanks for a nice class, Prabhu. I was just curious if you could explain the difference between, you're talking about, you're listening to those different things that people desire in this world, name, fame, and profit. And so I was just wondering if you could kind of go into detail a bit more about the difference between name and fame. So somehow it seems like it's kind of...
Tell me what he's saying.
Rudy, he was asking if you can make a very clear distinction between name and fame. He's talking about in the verse how described are these different things, name, fame. He's asking if you can explain the difference between name and fame.
Between name and fame and what?
Just between name and fame.
Well, the difference between name and fame? Name and fame, more or less the same. Any other questions? Yeah.
Name is synonymous with high birth. In other words, you may be a Kennedy, a Rothschild, not necessarily be famous, but you're happy just to have that name. And people even imitate that. You know, they take on a name that they don't have just so that people will give them respect. So there is a subtle distinction between name and fame. Name, again, is synonymous with what we would say, jati, high birth. Somebody wants a high birth in a big family, not necessarily just seeking fame, but they want the respect that goes with that.
What's the good of having a big name if nobody knows about it?
Because, again, you get respect. You can walk into a grocery store if you're a Kennedy. You know, you may not be famous, but as soon as they hear that name, they perk up. Oh, Kennedy. See what I'm saying? It's not that you're necessarily famous, but people use that to their advantage. The name is famous. The name may not be famous.
But the name itself makes you famous.
Yeah, my name is, George Washington.
Actually, Krishna, he wanted the Yadu dynasty to be annihilated because they would take the name of being descendants of Krishna and become polluted by that reputation. So fame is a very dangerous thing for a non-devotee. But it's actually very auspicious for the world to glorify those who have taken Krishna consciousness totally as their very life and soul. The world becomes very much benefited by celebrating the name and fame of the great transcendentalists. Anything else? Everyone satisfied? Yes, Prabhu?
Hare Krishna. Very nice class. Thank you. I was very inspired. There's one question I've had that about the eternal relationship between the spiritual master and the disciple. It's always something I haven't quite understood properly. And you said that when you were speaking about the spiritual master enters your heart, I was thinking, you know, disciples can fall, spiritual teachers can fall, and you know, people have the free will to turn their back to Krishna. Maybe you could elaborate on what does it mean when you know, we say the disciple is an eternal, there's an eternal spiritual master. How does that work?
Yes. That depends on the spiritual master always remaining a bona fide representative of his spiritual master. It depends on him being always a perfect disciple of his spiritual master, and the disciple being the other disciple being a perfect disciple. So if that obedience is there, which is the third prong of the transcendental tripod, shelter, diksha, and obedience are the three primary aspects described in chapter 6 of the Nectar Devotion of the process of bhakti. You take shelter of the spiritual master, you get initiated by the spiritual master, and then you're fully obedient to him. So as long as that obedience is there, as long as he's obedient to his guru, and as long as you're obedient to him, then that relationship is pakka, it's solid, it's strong, and it's never broken. So obedience is the key. You have to be obedient to the spiritual master. Simply being an initiate is not enough. Well, I'm initiated. Your initiation is useless if you're not obedient. You see? If you're obedient, then you're a disciple. The initiation ceremony is useless if you're not obedient to the spiritual master. So obedience, it all hinges on obedience. That whatever my spiritual master tells me, I accept his instruction as my life and soul. I worship it. I meditate on that instruction he has given me, you see. So in this way, this is Prabhupada, the perfect example. He accepted that order as his life and soul. He didn't know how he could carry it out. How could I possibly spread Krishna consciousness in the English-speaking world? It didn't seem possible. But yet he said, no, somehow I must do this. Let me endeavor somehow, you see. So it may seem doable, it may not seem doable, it may seem possible, it may seem impossible. That doesn't matter. Prabhupada even told us, I was in Atlanta with Prabhupada in 75, he told us that when I came to your country, I was thinking, as soon as I tell them no illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling, they'll immediately say, Swamiji, please go home. But Prabhupada said, but I still thought, let me try. When I heard that, I went, jai. And everyone followed along with my jai, because that endeavor of Prabhupada, even though he thought he would be a failure, that endeavor is what saved us. So that kind of dedication, even if you think it could be a complete failure to carry out your spiritual master's orders, still the endeavor must be there. That determined endeavor to serve my spiritual master's order, that must be there. And that determination, that conviction, that laser-focused mind of the disciple keeps him always packed up tightly with his spiritual master for all of eternity. Kijai. So our time is up, I think. We're going a little bit over. And it's time to take breakfast. So we thank you all very much for being here. I'm very grateful to each and every one of you as a part of this community. You're making this wonderful atmosphere, which is the icing on the cake at the end of my round-the-world tour. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. ISKCON NU DWARKA Vasis Kija. Hare Krishna.